Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Starting and operating a small business against all odds, living largely by your wits, you demonstrate more courage and devotion to a dream than any other non-military American in this century. We're back. It's 13 After. Thank you for joining us. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and my phone number is 888-822-8255, and my website is www.smallbusinessadvocate.com. I'm excited about this hour because one of my dear friends is on the show with us today. Her name is Kelly Oldwiler, and we've only known each other for maybe a year and a half or so, but she's a really great lady, and we've talked quite a bit off the show on the phone, and she's the author, along with Jerry Fletcher, of a book called Paradoxical Thinking. I really enjoyed our discussions on that issue before. She is the founder of Kelbergen Consulting, a company that focuses on one-on-one executive coaching, team consulting, and innovative thinking processes. And Kelly, welcome back to the show.
Well, thank you. It's good to be here again, Jim.
It's always good to have you. And my audience knows that you have had a little bit of illness. I mentioned in the past that when we thought you might be here and then you weren't able to be here because of your father, I've told them to keep you and your father in their thoughts, and we're glad to know that, I'm glad to report that your father's doing much better.
And we definitely believe it's because of all the praying and thoughts that were circulating in the world for him that he is doing so well.
I didn't think you would mind
mentioning
that at all, and because we care about you too. One of the things that I know you've got on your mind today is this concept of heroes, and my audience knows who I think the modern day heroes of today are, but I'd like for you to talk to us a little bit about what's on your mind with regard to heroes.
Well, it began generating with paradoxical thinking because I interviewed so many people in the process of doing this book. And what I discovered is that heroes are among us. They're the people that we interact with in some way every day. They're our customers. They are the people who sit in the cubicle next to us. It's the people who start their businesses. And we tend to think of heroes as being people who are famous, very well known, who've gotten a lot of the PR, and they are heroes, many of them are, but we need models who are closer to ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
And if one of the things to do is to find out, look around you and look at yourself and begin to ask the question, where have I been heroic? Or where has this person who works in my front office here, even if you're a two-person office, where's the heroism in this person? Because most of us have it.
When you interviewed all those people, I'm assuming that you identified some people that you felt were heroes to you as you were interviewing them. What were some of the things when you were talking to them and as they were talking to you about what they did what were some of the things that was helping you to identify these people as heroes?
Well, I'll tell you, when I started, that's not what I was looking for.
Mm-hmm.
I have to be honest about that. I was getting stories from people to write a book called High Performance Patterns with my co-author. He put that book out, and to look at paradox within people. Where does it show up? And in the process, Jim, almost to a person, they would tell me a story that left me in awe. And they were simple stories, but stories that nobody else seemed to know about. For example, I had a man tell me, who was a salesman, had been working in this company for 15 years. People sort of teased him because his personality was very gung-ho and maybe a little too much for some folks. They didn't know anything about him personally. And here I discover that this man was a volunteer fire department paramedic. And on one occasion, he arrived at a scene where a couple had been climbing an ice fall. It was in early spring, the ice was melting, and the ice fell off the cliff and down into the stream below, which was frozen.
Mm-hmm.
But the couple broke through the ice, and they died. And he made the decision, because he'd just been to a class, that in those situations, if someone is upside down in ice cold water, not breathing for a long time, they have very little brain damage.
Mm-hmm.
He made the decision to do life support for this person.
Mm-hmm.
And they spent 8 hours giving mouth-to-mouth resuscitation,
wow,
bringing them up on ropes over 6 hours' time, three people, including this man on the stretcher, one holding the stretcher, and two alternating giving CPR and holding the one who was giving CPR,
mm-hmm,
because they had nothing to grab onto to push against so that they could do the life-giving support. This man survived and thanked Pete, who's the name of the man who did this, and no one knew that here was somebody who, with correct information, took a great risk, put a lot of effort in,
mm-hmm,
and can go after something. This man is a hero to many people,
mm-hmm,
and no one knows it. His company didn't know it, and his colleagues didn't know.
And it wasn't important to him that anybody knew it, was it?
No. I don't think it was. It was known in a very, very small circle.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, that's the unassuming characteristic of a hero, and people who are heroes do things that, and let's, I'd like for us to do that. I'd like for us to try to define what a hero is, especially in modern terms. And ladies and gentlemen, if you'd like to join us, I'd like to know what some of your thoughts are. We'd like to know who some of your heroes are, if you'd like to join us and share some of that with us. And what you think, if you'd like to contribute to our definition of a hero, 888-822-8255. James is on the board. He'll take your call, and he'll put you right through to me and to Kelly. People who are heroes are not looking to be heroes, are they?
No.
Something that they're seeking out.
I think what happens when that heroic side comes out, it's also very connected to leadership. The heart gets engaged, and the elements of courage, spirit, and hope are present.
Yes.
And when we know what our values are, for example, the reason people are heroes to us is that they emulate, they represent something that we want to believe in for ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
And they give us someone to emulate, to explore values and what really matters to us.
I think the magic word, the operative word there in your statement is represent, which means basically that they don't actually have to be that in real life, but they represent what you're hoping for.
Exactly.
Stand by, Kelly. We've got to take a quick break. Folks, it's 20 after the hour. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, 888-822-8255. Give us a call. We're having a great visit with our good friend Kelly Oldwater, the co-author of Paradoxical Thinking, How to Profit from Your Contradictions. And we've had a lot of fun, and I've really enjoyed our visits, Kelly, before when we've talked about paradoxical thinking. And although I enjoyed those, I'm looking forward to the rest of our visit on talking about the concept of heroes. And you said something as we took the break about what these people that we hold out as our heroes represent. Don't you feel that Americans, maybe the world, but certainly Americans, are searching for heroes these days?
I think so. And there's quite a bit of literature coming out. One I think is called Sitting on the Curb, Where Have Our American Heroes Gone, or Why Have They Disappeared, which is an interesting book. And when I ask children, which I do quite a bit these days, who are your heroes, they're always a pop star or an athlete,
yeah,
a movie star, something like that.
I hate to quote the old song, but we're looking for love in all the wrong places.
Exactly. And when I ask young people who are in business, for example, the heroes that they are looking at are the Bill Gates. And in probing, it's not so much that they think of Bill Gates as a hero as that they envy his ability to make
mm-hmm.
money.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a very different thing.
That's right.
Envy something.
That's right.
And when you look at people my age, and I'm 50,
that's a wonderful age, by the way.
Oh, I love it.
I know it well. I don't tell people I'm 50. I just tell them that my last birthday rhymes with nifty.
Well, anybody who it's a wonderful age to be. It is.
Yeah.
And what I find people near and a little past my age bracket find as heroes are people who are not with us on the planet, or they don't have any.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of cynicism about heroes out there.
Well, you know, Bill Gates did something heroic recently. He gave a lot of money to some charities.
Yes, he did.
Through his foundation.
Mm-hmm.
I thought that was a great thing. Now, a lot of people might say, well, what's heroic about that? You know, he's got plenty of money. That, you know, that didn't cost him all that much money. He'll never spend all that money. But you know what? He could have sat on that money.
And it would depend on the value that he's expressing in giving it. And
yes,
we can't know that, unfortunately.
That's right.
It would be wonderful if we did.
That's right.
And there are, I think, I've identified about 8 values. 7 or 8 that seem to show up in people who are heroes and who express leadership from the heart that have to do with that courage and spirit and hope.
Okay.
And just quickly, one of them is respect for self and others. And an example of that would be, I heard a great story about a CEO who where you play football, the big stadium.
Yep.
And he was taking a group of school children through the stadium and showing them around. And when they crossed the field and they went to the locker room where the team was in dressing and getting ready for their practice, and the guard said, I'm sorry, you can't go in there. No one is allowed in there. And he said, well, I just want to take the kids in and show them around and have them meet one or two people. And he said, I'm sorry, sir, no one's allowed in there. Now, what we would expect is that the CEO would say, I'm the CEO,
mm-hmm,
and I'm taking the kids in, and I'll talk to you later.
Mm-hmm.
And what he did is he said, well, thank you. I understand that that's a rule, and I appreciate that. And he took the kids elsewhere. And then he wrote this man a note that thanked him for his good job and for really standing by what his job was supposed to be.
Yeah.
And, of course, what this is going to do, that was a very heroic thing to do, to look bad and be willing to show respect for what was supposed to be.
You know, you just, if I could interject a story here.
Yes, please do.
You had asked me to think about some of the people that I thought were heroes, and you know, this guy still did. He doesn't know that I think this probably, but when my daughter was getting her driver's license, she's a good driver, but she made a judgment at an intersection that he thought was wrong.
Mm-hmm.
She didn't do something unsafe, but it was a questionable judgment. It was a little closer than he would like to have seen, so he failed her.
Mm-hmm.
When he walked up to me with her at the end of the test drive, he looked apologetic, and he was almost prepared to protect himself almost, because he was afraid that I was going to be upset because he failed my daughter.
Yes.
And I said, well, what were the circumstances? And he told me. I said, thank you for failing my daughter. He said, what do you mean? I said, well, anytime anybody does something that could potentially save my daughter's life, I said, I'm going to thank you for that.
Well, that's another value.
It just amazed him that I would say something like that. But as far as I was concerned, at that moment, he was a hero. Stand by. We got to take a break. Kelly, we'll be right back, folks. It's 29 after. We'll be right back with Kelly Oldwater. We're talking about heroes. Stay with us, please. Every day in America, in a lot of different places, some small business owner makes payroll every Friday, I should say. And there are 10 people working for the company, including himself or herself, and there's only enough money for 9 paychecks, Kelly Oldwater.
Mm-hmm.
And yet that person makes those 9 paychecks, payrolls, and covers them, and doesn't get one for himself or herself, and continues to march, keeps right on working. And when you do that, ladies and gentlemen, that makes you my hero. And I've had people, folks, that's what we're talking about. We're talking about what makes a hero and who are the heroes in our lives with our good friend Kelly Oldwater. And Kelly, I've had people to say to me, whenever I say small business owners are heroes, I've had a couple of people say, well, you're diluting the definition of hero. But you know what? I argue with them vehemently.
Well, we may need to change the definition of hero. The tendency is to make a hero someone who's very big in life.
Mm-hmm. Bigger than life, and
exactly,
and unreachable, and they've accomplished something that seemingly a few other people could accomplish.
Exactly. But we really need to expand that definition. We need to bring out the hero in all of us, which is definitely present, and often we don't tap into it. We need to learn about the heroism in others, because if we know, for example, it was the people who worked for us, if we know the aspects of people, we can learn from it, and we can use it in our businesses. We can learn, you know, what's being done right, so we can continue to do more of that. There could be a heroic story with somebody who's dealing with customer service. And if your values are known for your business, then your employees are going to be able to know how to respond to your customers. So if you value customer service as the owner of your small business, then when your employee gets a call from somebody who's very irate and very rude or upset, rather than telling that person to bug off, your employee is going to do everything in their power that's reasonable to calm them down, make them satisfied, and keep them, because they understand that you value customer service. And to be able to calm down a very upset customer, it takes a little heroism to do that.
It takes courage.
It takes a lot of courage.
Which is one of the main components, in my opinion, of being a hero. And you don't have to save someone's life to demonstrate courage. One of the things that I have observed, and I'm glad you wanted to bring this topic up today, because I always like being able to talk about courage, because to me that is one of the things that I look for. To me, that's the early indicator of a hero in any particular scenario, is demonstrating courage. And you can have business courage, and what it looks like is, do you believe in what you think, and are you prepared to stand up for it in the face of others who are saying that you are wrong?
The courage to lead, the courage to trust your heart, and the courage to take risks.
Yes, and the courage
to believe in it,
and the courage to stand up for others.
Mm-hmm. And to stand up for others. That's very good. Yeah.
Yeah, and I know people who have had some success, and people, you know, people consider them to be very successful, et cetera, and they're doing well from a professional standpoint, but they have no courage. And I've seen them have opportunities to demonstrate courage, and they wouldn't do it.
Mm-hmm.
And then I've seen people who were less successful, seemingly, and they demonstrated courage all the time. And I really like observing that in the marketplace.
Mm-hmm. And when courage doesn't exist by itself. Courage usually has to do with compassion, giving, respect. And if you have those things and the courage to live whatever your values are, that's when things are really going to work for you. And that's also what you're going to have to rely on when you have to make some tough decisions.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't know what your values are, then you will not be able to be courageous and find that heroic side in you.
There's a story that I want to tell about an interview that Johnny Carson did with Fernando Lamas at least 25 years ago. I don't know if you watched the Tonight Show, but when he was on, I watched it religiously because I really enjoyed that show. Fernando Lamas was one of the great Latin lovers, so to speak.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't know him well, except I didn't know very much about him as an individual, except for his screen, you know, on screen persona. But Carson was talking to him about his machismo, that he was, you know, he was this Latin lover and heartthrob, and that he had this machismo, and he was so macho, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And before he got very far down the road with this describing Lamas like this, Fernando stopped him and he says, "Wait, Johnny." He says, "I don't want you to call me macho anymore." He said, "I am not macho. What I do is not macho." He said, "Let me tell you what's macho." He said, "Macho is the guy who's out there driving a bus putting two kids through college." He said, "Macho is the nurse who's saving someone's life for not nearly enough money." And he gave two or three more examples, and he said, "That's macho to me."
Mm-hmm.
And you know what? His stock in my eyes went way up.
Yes.
At that moment, he was a hero.
Yes.
To me.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the kind of person, that's the kind of celebrity I think we should seek out as our heroes.
Mm-hmm. And there's...
Go ahead.
there's truth in that, and there was truth in what Fernando said, because he was willing to say it live on TV.
Absolutely.
So he really did believe that.
That's what, and that makes him courageous. Stand by, Kelly. We're going to take a break. Folks, it's 39 after the hour. We've got some more things that indicate whether you're a hero or not, or whether those that you're observing are heroes. Stay with us. We'll be right back. And you know, small business owners, if you've been listening to this show for very long, you know that I mean that. If you're a small business owner, you know you're my hero, and I am so proud of what you're doing out there. You're out there by yourself most of the time. There's so many things that you've got going on in your life. You've got alligators biting you and disappointments and things that happen to you that seem to be happening for no reason, and yet you keep on going. You persevere. You keep making payroll. You plan for growth. You envision the next stage of your company while the one that you're in seems to not be working at all. And Kelly Ohlweiler, that to me, that's what makes small business owners my heroes.
It sure does. And, you know, we've talked about the wonder of heroes and knowing your values, but I think it's also important to talk about how very often entrepreneurs or companies or even individually, we don't always reflect the values we intend to or we would like to, and who we want to know who our heroes are or who are the heroes that we're emulating, what's gone wrong. So if we can take the time to really reflect and start with ourselves, who are my heroes? Why are they my heroes? Is my behavior reflecting the values that I admire? Or
Kelly, I'd like to go down through, before we go too far, I'd like to go down through this list of eight things that you said that you believe identifies a hero, characteristics of a hero, and we only did one of them so far, and I don't want us to go too far without saying the rest of them.
Yes.
The first one was respect for others and self, and I think that's so important. We talked about that a little bit. What's the second one?
The second one is living by example. Heroes are people who are willing to openly reflect what they believe in.
Mm-hmm. And that takes courage too, doesn't it?
All of this takes courage.
Yes.
I think courage is probably the umbrella under which most of these fall under.
I agree.
Leadership is letting your heart take you beyond the obvious, and that means being willing. When a situation arises that's difficult, rather than become reactive, allow the heart to be present,
mm-hmm.
which can lead us to more ambiguous, the harder to see solutions that end up being more harmonious in the long run.
One of the things that I like to talk about is the difference between courage and bravery. And I don't know if you and I have ever talked about this before, but
no,
I think I've said it on the show, I think, once or twice before. To me, bravery is what you do when you do something in the moment. Courage is when you do it anyway after you've had time to think about it.
I think that's a great definition.
And we all have the opportunity to be brave, but I'm going to give you more points if you're courageous than if you're brave.
Yeah.
What's the next one?
But leadership is giving. And that means giving of yourself. You have control over yourself, but being able to give up control, space, the freedom in which others can grow and bloom.
And that takes a lot of class. I mean, when you see that, you're going to say, well, you know, you might not see the courage in that or the heroics in that, but you can certainly see class in that, can't you? When someone's trying to emerge, and you maybe have a better story to tell, or you're more accomplished than they are in that particular field, but it's okay, it's enough that you know that, it's not necessary for everyone else to know, and you allow this other person to bloom out.
Yes, and I do think it takes courage to let go and allow others to bloom.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
I agree.
That's the old, you have to have center stage.
Yeah, I agree.
And leadership is compassion. And that really means striving to know what it is like to be standing in someone else's shoes and to do it in a way that causes no harm. There's a wonderful teacher in Harlem who took a group of inner city kids to a week of camp, and one of the first things he did was organize a baseball game. And he realized after the game that the people in the outfield positions were having a very hard time. And when he stopped the game and said, "Now, what's going on here?" It turned out that the outfielders were right next to a forest, a thick forest of trees, and they were scared. They didn't know what monsters were in there. They'd never been around trees. So rather than put them down, what he did is he thought about it, and he put two kids in each outfield position, one to catch the ball and one to watch the forest. And the game proceeded.
That's great. What a great story.
Yeah, that's true compassion.
Oh, I'm sorry, and I don't mean to make light of this, but that reminds me of the first time I went skiing, and they had signs on the trees that said, "Watch out for snow cats." You know what a snow cat is?
No.
It's this big machine that grooms the snow. But the people I was with, now, believe it or not, folks, I figured that out. Because I know a little bit about the wildlife in America, and I know that there are no snow cats. And so I figured out that it was a piece of equipment. But there were people in my group that wouldn't ski near the trees because they said, and finally somebody, later in the day, somebody pointed out a snow cat, and they said, "Oh, that's what that is. I thought it was an animal. That's the reason they wouldn't ski near the trees."
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
No, that's very good. That's exactly the kind of thing it was. Then another one is...
Before you leave that, compassion. In order to have compassion, folks, you've got to get out of your world and allow yourself to at least see other people and the looks on their face, what's happening to them. You can't have compassion for folks if you're so egocentric that you don't see people.
Yes.
And that's, to me, one of the things a hero does is they see people and they actually are imagining helping them before it even becomes apparent that they need help.
Yes, and that's the idea of standing in their shoes.
Yeah, exactly. Stand by, folks. When we come back, we're going to talk about the last three things that helps us identify the heroes in our lives. And they're not on television, and they're not necessarily playing sports. Stay with us. We'll be right back with our good friend, Kelly Ohlweiler. She's our good friend, the author of Paradoxical Thinking. Kelly, tell us where your book's available.
The book is available in most bookstores. They can either order it from you, or you can order it from Barrett Kohler Publishers in San Francisco. I'm sorry, I don't have the number, but it's okay. Easily available from information, and it's spelled Berrett-Kohler.
But they can get it online?
And they can also get it online at Amazon.
And it's Paradoxical Thinking by Jerry Fletcher and Kelly Ohlweiler. And I'd recommend you check this out, folks. It's an excellent book. And as you know, we've had some great discussions with Kelly on Paradoxical Thinking. We'll be getting her archives of those shows, those Paradoxical Thinking shows that we've done with Kelly, up very, very soon. We're talking about heroes and what makes a hero and who some of Kelly's, what Kelly thinks is a hero and what I think are heroes. And you know who I think are heroes. The latter-day heroes of our culture, in my opinion, are all around this world. They're on every other block in this country, and they're small business owners. And Kelly, the next thing that you had that helps you identify heroes is courage, I think.
That's right. And again, courage, we might make that number one and have everything fall out under it.
I agree.
But it's really the courage to lead, to trust your heart, to take risks, as we were saying. The courage to stand up for what you believe in, even during the hard times. The courage to help other people, and there's just so much involved.
There's one more thing that I wrote down yesterday and last night when I was thinking about our visit. The courage to invest in people.
Yes.
A friend of mine loaned another friend some money, and he told me it wasn't a lot of money. It was a few hundred dollars. And he said, how do you think I should feel about that? Should be upset about that? I said, look, you invested that money in that person. That person was having difficulty. And I said, you invested in that person. Don't think of that as a loan. Think of it as an investment.
Yes.
And he said, you know, that helps me. I won't worry about it anymore. And it's not just about loaning people money. You invest in, when you train your employees, Kelly, I think that's something, whenever I'm hired to train employees of companies, I tell them, your company is investing in you. We're going to put some things in your head that you can take with you the rest of your life, not just when you work here.
Mm-hmm.
That's an investment that this company is making in you.
Mm-hmm.
And I admire people who have the courage to invest in other people.
And when you're starting a new business, or your business, you only have a few people in your business, maybe anywhere from 2 to 10 or so,
mm-hmm.
You're still small enough that it really does take a tremendous commitment to invest in your people.
It really
and
does.
They're not going to invest in you unless you invest in them.
Talk to us about Celebration. We've got 30 seconds.
Celebration has to do with honoring the history and the learnings that take place. You know, it has to do with completion, and it also has to do with transitions and being able to continue to move into the future. And a hero is somebody who recognizes when celebration should be taking place and makes sure that it happens for others as well as self.
What does it look like? Tell us, what would an example of a heroic celebration look like?
Well, heroic celebration would look like recognizing that employees have gone the extra mile, have maybe been doing some things that weren't expected of them.
But it could be just, couldn't it just be very small, putting your hand on the shoulder and saying, well done?
Yes, it can.
Couldn't it be something that
it
small?
It can.
I like to make sure that we don't miss little opportunities like
no,
that.
No, those are very important and should always be ongoing. But celebrations are marking moments in time that recognize the heroics that have been accomplished.
Kelly, I've got to interrupt you. We've got to go. I'm sorry. We'll do this again. I've enjoyed it. Kelly Oldwiler, ladies and gentlemen. We've got to wrap it up for this hour. Before I go, I want to thank my heroes, small business owners. You know it. This is Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and this program is for you.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.